Hey there. If you have been feeling that tug on your heart to start your own podcast or level up your current one, let me put you onto something that has been a game changer for me. Riverside.fm. Listen, I know the struggle. Glitchy audio, blurry video, and praying your Wi-Fi holds up. With Riverside, you don't have to worry about any of that. It records studio quality audio and 4K video, all saved locally, meaning your recording is crisp and clear no matter what your internet is doing. And streaming? Super easy. You can go live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Twitch all at the same time. That means more eyes, more ears, and more impact for your message. So, if you're serious about sharing what God has placed on your heart with excellence, Riverside.fm is the way to go. Tap the link in my show notes to start your free trial today. Sis, remember this. Your voice matters. Let's make sure they hear it clearly. Do you feel like you're sinking in disappointment and emotional pain? Do you want God's peace even in the midst of storms? Do you long to be a woman who walks in obedience and lives a life that is set apart? And lastly, are you ready to live a life that unapologetically reflects authentic holiness? Welcome to the She's Marked podcast. I'm your host, Hannah, a writer, speaker, and certified biblical counselor. I've gained wisdom and learned some pretty hard lessons through suffering and how it can be a powerful vehicle for transformation. We face a constant temptation to throw in the towel and cave to the turbulence and the pressures of suffering and pain. My heart is to help you shift your eyes from the crash and onto the cross and to recalibrate in your faith and holiness. Join me as we press toward unpacking the heavy luggage of our heart in pursuit of a life that is built on the practical foundation of God's truth. To be marked means to be set apart, distinguished, unmistakable, and evident. The marked woman may be struck down, but she is not destroyed. She rises and recognizes that there is purpose in pain, and that she is a vessel poured out for God's use and perfected in His purpose. This woman is picking up her cross, knowing that the cost may involve suffering, but hidden within the tapestry of her suffering are woven threads of intimacy, trust, preparation, and maturity. You're listening to the She's Marked podcast, Healing Happens Here. I'd like to start today's episode with a verse of scripture taken from Romans 12, verse 9. And it says, "Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good." And I especially want to zoom in on that word, cleave. Welcome to the She's Marked podcast. My name is Hannah, and I'm so grateful to be your host. Today, episode 52 is entitled Leave and Cleave. And no, I'm not going to be talking about marriage, but I am going to be taking a focus on those two rhyming words, leave and cleave, especially. Cleave or cleaving is defined as sticking fast to, adhering strongly to, or becoming very strongly involved with or emotionally attached to. And the context in which I want to talk about cleaving today is in the context of ourselves, our pasts, our stories. Home is where the rest is, and my desire is to help you in creating homes that are set apart, where the Spirit of God dwells and healing and equipping abide. So whether you're searching for the perfect touch to cozy up your spaces or a way to naturally incorporate rich scripture and faith to the flow of your everyday life, the Marked Store has you covered. And let's not forget our precious littles. The Marked Store has an adorable collection of infant onesies and bibs. Here is the best part. My listeners get an exclusive discount. Use the code MarkedHome15 at checkout for 15% off your purchase, and Marked is spelled M-R-K-D. So go ahead, head over to the Mark store today at www.markstore.com, that's M-R-K-D store, and start filling your life with faith, love, and rest. We all have a story, things that we have been through, moments that have shaped us, experiences that have left a mark in our lives and on our hearts. And at first, we simply rest on that story. It explains things. It gives context. It gives a narrative and language, and it helps us to process. But over time, there is a risk of something happening in some of our lives. Those stories slowly begin to shift. They perhaps even become a sob story at some point in time, something that we hide behind, something that we use as an excuse. Instead of moving forward, we stay stuck, using it as validation for why we can't, why we won't, and why we haven't. Before we realize it, we have become married to the things that have happened to us. The blow happened once, but the story lingers for 5, 10, 20 years, keeping us completely bound. We can say things like, "I can't because," can you believe what they did, what they said, what I lost, what I went through? I ended up this way because blank. At first, these thoughts feel like truth, and maybe they could very well be true. But little by little, as we cleave to them, they become the walls that build our prisons. We don't just tell the story, we start to live in it, and it becomes defining. Here's the problem. When your story chains you and drains you, there is a problem. When it drives you to disobey the Lord, it is a problem. When it leads to hardness and unforgiveness, pride and lack of effort, we have a problem. And lastly, when it justifies you giving up and giving in, you have a problem. The biggest issue, when your story that has now transformed into a sob story of sorts speaks louder than the voice of God, when you look in the mirror and you see your past more than you see Christ, this, I believe, is a huge strategy of the enemy. He doesn't need to destroy you. He just needs to get you to keep resting in that story. He needs you to continue to focus on that story and see yourself through that story. This keeps you so focused on what happened to you that you are never able to step into what's next. The enemy will use this sob story as a blindfold, and he will take it and choke out your faith, your hope, your ability to persevere, and your desire to even try again. But here's the truth, my dear sister. Your story should not be your excuse. It should be your testimony. May your sob story be replaced with God's story. May it become a story where you don't look like what you've been through, and what was previously only seen as a valley of sorrows actually becomes revealed as a valley of opportunity. Imagine trekking through a valley and you look around and you see mountains and dirt. You just see bare earth, and it goes on for miles and miles. I have flashbacks as I share that. Really quick sidebar, my husband and I, when we first got married, a few months actually after we got married, we went on our honeymoon in Greece, and we had heard about Samaria's Gorge, and our very privileged Western world minds thought that this was going to be some, I don't know, I think we thought it was like some park grounds that had like shopping and all these things. We just did not know what Samaria's Gorge really was. And in fact, it was a hiking trail. I mean, an intense, intense hiking trail. These are the grounds that Paul walked in the Bible, literally.
And so we were not prepared. We didn't even have a full breakfast. We thought that there were going to be shopping places we could sit down and eat and like just relax. And it ended up being 16 miles? It ended up being about 16 miles of just raw earth that we had to trek through and get through before the sun went down so that we could catch our boat to make it back to our hotel, which was 2 hours away. So if we missed that bus and something had happened to us in the mountains, we would have very much been long gone into eternity at this point. We had no phones, no way of communicating. All the signs were in Greek. We couldn't understand anything. And so anyways, as we looked around in the valley that we were in, and may I mind you, it took us maybe almost 10 hours to get out. It might have been 8 hours. Either way, it was a full day and it was very hot and we were very dehydrated with tennis shoes on. So that kind of gives you an idea of how prepared we were. But anyway, I say that to say this. When you are going through the valley of sorrows, you can see the void. That's all that you see. But may the Lord reveal to you that what seemed to have been valleys of sorrow in your past, in your story, they were truly valleys of opportunity, a valley of true endurance and intimacy with Jesus. May you begin to see your story the way that God sees it. The story where, you know, if you retrace your steps, you see teardrops along the way. You don't even see footprints, but you see teardrops, places where you have wept and it just seems so barren. You actually see that it wasn't barrenness at all. Those were moments where your faith was being built and shaped and molded. Your identity and your character were being formed and fashioned and formulated. And that there was this beautiful cleaving that was happening. Or even if this is a future thing, let's say it's not your story in the past, it could be your story right now. It could be a story that is to come. It could be a valley of sorrow that is to come. May you begin to see it as valleys of opportunity, the way that the Lord sees it. An opportunity where rather than you cleaving to the narrative that the enemy would have you cleave to, that narrative that will keep you stunted, that will hinder you, will keep you stagnant, you begin to see it as a story of intimacy and a story of opportunity, a chance to cleave rather to Christ and to cleave to his ways, to cleave to the Lord's commands and to cleave under his wings, hiding in his shadow. With that, I'd like to share some scriptures about cleaving to God. So as we leave the sob story, we cleave to the Lord. Isaiah 43 verse 18 talks about forgetting the former things and not dwelling on the past. And I want to read a little bit of a study from Bible Hub just to dig in a little further to what this means. So it says, this phrase encourages a shift in focus from past events to the present and future. In the context of Isaiah, the Israelites were in exile and the former things could refer to their past sins, failures, or even the miraculous events of the Exodus. The call is to not dwell on these past events, whether they were failures or triumphs, as God is about to do something new. This aligns with the biblical theme of renewal and redemption, as seen in passages like Philippians 3, 13 to 14, where Paul speaks of forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Theologically, it emphasizes God's ability to transform and renew, offering hope and a fresh start. So moving beyond the past. When we need a reason, let's say you're having an especially difficult time in leaving the past, and in fact, you're cleaved to it. Somehow you feel like you are stuck in the chokehold of your sob story. You're stuck in that chokehold of the past and all the things. Keep this in mind that when you turn your shift, even in just a willingness and in a surrender, even if you physically, you can't bring yourself to actually doing it. If you can just for a moment entertain the thought that as you do that, you are emphasizing God's ability to transform and renew. This offers you hope and a fresh start. Once you cleave to the Lord, instead of that story, you give God the chance to work in your heart and in your life. Going on to Philippians 3:13, again, I'm reading the study from Bible Hub. Forgetting what is behind suggests a deliberate choice to let go of past achievements, failures, and experiences that could hinder spiritual progress. Okay? So as we cleave to these stories, as we cleave to what has now become our identity, this pseudo false identity, we are hindering our own spiritual progress. So it's kind of a lethal occurrence, because as we're cleaving to it, it's actually draining the very life out of us. Here are some scriptures about cleaving to the Lord. Remember, cleave can also mean cling. So Joshua 23:8 says, but you are to cling to the Lord your God as you have done this day. 2 Kings 18:6 says, for he clung to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. Psalm 63:8 says, my soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Deuteronomy 10:20 says, you shall fear the Lord your God. You shall serve him and cling to him, and you shall swear by his name. I think of a car wash tunnel. It is a slow, slimy, slippery, wet, loud, noisy, forceful mess. But it's also the channel between filthy and clean. It's where the cleansing work takes place. It is in that long and seemingly unending tunnel that we are being cleansed, our cars are being cleansed, scrubbed, wiped, polished, buffed, and prepared. Can you imagine going through that car wash and rather than seeing the finished work, you dwell on the tumultuous friction and sway of the tunnel? Are you dwelling on the chaos of the tunnel, or are you trusting in the finished work on the other side? In closing, your story is real, but it is not your residence. Don't settle into that story and don't allow the enemy to transform it into a sob story. But rather, my dear sister, step into the testimony. The work was already finished by Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Messiah. He shed his blood. He made it possible for you to be renewed. He made it possible for you to walk in true freedom as a marked daughter, marked by him. He made that possible for you. I encourage you today to recognize the areas, if there are, recognize and identify ways that you have cleaved to your story and left God. And I challenge you to turn it around and leave your story rather and cling to God. Thank you so much for tuning in. If this resonated with you, I ask that you share this episode. And I'd like to leave you with a quote from J.C. Ryle. Let us cleave to Christ more closely, love him more heartily, live to him more thoroughly, copy him more exactly, confess him more boldly, follow him more fully. Until next time.
Dear listener, your support means everything, and without your listenership, there would be no show. Thank you for tuning in and be sure to leave a review. I'd love to know the impact of the show in your personal life, and I'd love to increase the chances of other women discovering and being transformed through this podcast. In the meantime, let's stay connected. Visit www.shesmarked.com for more episodes, services, collaboration info, to shop the Marked store, or to make donations. In closing, 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, therefore, come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. The woman marked by God bears his seal, belongs to him, and is protected by him. She is a partaker in the divine nature of Christ, and therefore she is free.